Apple has bought the maker of the motion capture technology used in Star Wars, FaceShift.
It's a good headline.
Okay.
I'm sure it's a little insulting to the animators, you know, to say that FaceShift is, I'm sure that FaceShift was used on some shots in Star Wars, but
yeah,
we just have to remember that that really good facial animation is produced by really good animators who sometimes may use either video reference or use some of the data from motion capture or facial capture as a starting point.
Right.
But I think it's really unfair for people to say that this is the software that did all the stuff that we saw in Star Wars. It's just not the case. Now, I've actually used the software, and it's very good.
Is this so similar to what they used on Andy Serkis in the Planet of the Apes movies and in the Hobbit movies?
It's a similar
technology. He had a camera kind of floating in front of his face, and it captured his expressions so that when they animated the gorilla or the or Gollum, he could look human.
Right. And again, it's probably 30% or 40% of the actor, and then the rest of it is animated by hand.
So it's a reference point, but it's not the final.
Yeah. There's a lot of tweaking that goes on. And a lot of it takes the actual data and tweaks it. So, you know, you're taking them. And I have done a lot of facial capture. We have 3 motion capture systems. I mean, we definitely do a lot of motion capture. It's very useful. And we don't do it at a level where we need to do anything more than the motion capture. But when you're looking at at Star Wars or a Pixar film or whatever, that stuff's being hand animated. Now, Weta, of course, does its own, has its own software that they use for that, for Gollum or other things like that.
Right.
But this stuff is FaceShift's been around for a while, and it's actually very, very effective, very effective software, especially if you're doing a little bit more faster turn stuff. And again, as great, great reference. I think that the thing that's really interesting here is why would Apple, you know, want to do this. And I think that one of the big problems with virtual reality chats is that you can't see the person on the other side.
Right.
So I think that, this, as soon as I saw this, I to me what it looked like is, okay, if you're doing a virtual reality chat, you need to see an avatar on the other side, whether it's the real thing or whether it's somebody else, this will make it feel a lot more real.
It's almost exactly 2 years ago that Apple bought PrimeSense right out from under Microsoft. PrimeSense was the technology that's in the Microsoft Kinect.
Yeah, the first Kinect.
And I'm wondering what Apple's interest is. I mean, they got PrimeSense. They got this company. Is it an engineering hire, or do you think that they wanted the technology for something? And if they wanted the technology for something, what would it be for? Would it just be, let's make FaceTime so that you can be a scary clown?
It's for scary clowns.
Which we're seeing, by the way, a scary clown.
I think there's probably, you know, again, I think Apple hasn't really shown its cards as to where it's going to go with virtual reality, but I can't imagine that they're ignoring it.
Yeah. This is kind of a nice use. They replaced the mirrors in a bathroom with a camera and a high-res monitor and then made people scary clowns when they were washing their hands. That is really terrifying. That's just mean.
Make him a puppy or something.
I mean, and that was a scary clown. What is the first demo program you launch if somebody has never used a Mac or an iPad? You launch Photo Booth and you start doing crazy things. I could see it, right?
Yeah, my kids would probably spend half a day on just playing around with their head and doing crazy stuff. And again, when you look at what this technology is really good for is also, small avatars that might show you when you're looking at educational content, some of the Saturday morning cartoon style content that doesn't have to be quite Star Wars level or Pixar level. I think that, you know, this stuff would be very, very good for that kind of production. But again, when you look at education, when you look at explaining things and so on and so forth, you might have a teacher that wants to show you something, for instance. And what they do is instead of having to deal with video and everything else, they could just, you know, throw up a webcam and just do it all. And then there's this little character, you know, does those things for their little learning session. So those are there's a lot of things that can be done with this that allows you to churn out a lot of animation that would otherwise take a facial animation is one of the hardest things to do well. And so having something that you can do in real time or close to real time instead of spending 3 weeks on a 2-minute piece would be very compelling on a variety of levels.
It's facial casual. That's all you need. It's casual.
It's casual Scary Clown Friday.
But mixed with the Kinect technology, you know, you really could get to a point where you could do the whole body and face. And again, for things like e-learning, which I think
you know, what's surprising is that Kinect. I have the newest Xbox, Xbox One, with its Kinect technology. It is very cool, and it's a total flop. Microsoft now unbundles it because nobody wants to spend a mere extra $100 to have this. And there's exercise. You could see your, it could tell your heart rate. It can, I mean, it's amazing.
You can dance, Leo. It'll watch you dancing and tell you you're not doing as well as the Superman on the screen.
Well, that's, yeah. But I mean, it's pretty incredible technology, and nobody, it's like, yeah, I don't, it's $100 more. I don't want it.
We used it at New Year's last year.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it was terrific. We had a dance off. Yeah. It was very good exercise.
Oh yeah, that's right. You were good.
I barely stopped from falling down. But
Carly was the best. She kicked my butt.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's take a break.
You put that with the PrimeSense lens, and it's super interesting because that whole lens is designed to do what the Kinect does, which is essentially read motion in front of you. And if you start adding really good facial detection to motion, it's got gaming applications, it's got avatar applications, it's got interface applications. Apple's working on Focus UI that try to determine what elements of an interface should be in focus at any one time. Yep. And who says you have to do that with a controller in your hand one day? I think it has, like Alex said, broad-ranging appeal. And when you look at all the stuff,
that's why I want it to be not an engineering hire, but a technology acquisition.
Both,
both, obviously.
That was the first stuff that I started thinking about. It'd be cool if they were doing. I think they've moved away from the cool avatar sort of part of the business, but if they could do things like a really good secure facial unlock, if they could do things like being able to really very sensitively see where is the user looking right now, and make that actually part of the. Sort of a magic 3D specs sort of thing into the user interface, that could be a big deal too. One of the things that's so great about Apple is that any other company would buy a company like this and you would say, oh, well, that's interesting. They must be getting into gaming or they must be getting into video or something like that. With Apple, it could be, no, it could be that they just bought, there's something that they're thinking of doing 5 years in the future that's totally weird that would just, when we think back 5 years later, we'll think, oh, that's why they bought this. I would never have guessed that they were using it for this.
It could be as simple as we have one day an iPhone that's almost entirely a piece of glass and it knows what you're looking at. It makes the affordance for that button bigger than it would. Because right now there's no dynamic affordance. A button size is a button size. Whether you're an expert, whether it's your first time using the device, whether you have high dexterity, whether you have low dexterity. But in the future where affordance just means how easy it is to understand and use a control, that all stuff could be dynamic. So you could flub hitting a button twice and that button could internally get bigger for you. Or it could tell that you're looking at part of the interface and make that area easier to hit than part of the interface that knows you're not looking at. There's all sorts of really cool applications to this stuff.
Well, let's hope Apple implements them. You know, Microsoft, of course, has, as do some Android phones. It doesn't work well in Android, but Microsoft has implemented face recognition in its Surface line. They call it Microsoft Hello. And it's a pain in the butt because it's kind of a weird experience. There's a little eye appears on the screen and it goes looking for you. And when it recognizes you right away, it's great because the computer just opens up. But half the time it spends, you're looking at an eyeball going, looking for you, looking for you. And then it never finds you and you have to enter in a PIN code. And it's just kind of, and the new 950 phones apparently have iris recognition, which means, and this doesn't work well, I think from a user point of view, you have to hold the phone in a like certain place, in a certain position for it to look into your eye, and you have to open your eyes up.
It's like global entry. Please back up. Back up.
Yeah, you've
please
done that.
Up.
Yeah.
Well, to get into the U.S., you get the retina rec thing, and it says, get closer to the mirror, get further from the mirror.
You don't want your phone doing that before you can use it. It's just a pain in the butt. That's why I love fingerprint. A well-implemented fingerprint is definitely the way to unlock a phone. I wouldn't mind seeing that on a Macintosh. Of course, it's on the iPad as well, on the iPhone.